Hey, it's Mass. Since 1928, Rodenizer Home Services has been your trusted local experts for all your plumbing needs. From bathroom and kitchen fixtures to leaking pipes and water heaters, Rodenizer offers you the higher standards of professionalism. When you have questions, Rodenizer has answers, all backed by their 100% customer satisfaction guarantee. Their motto is simple: nice people, great service. So experience the difference today with Rodenizer Home Services. Visit Rodenizer.com to schedule today.
B-Pod Studios.
Felger.
I don't know, guys. Am I gonna play? Am I not gonna play? What am I gonna do?
Mass.
Yeah, Mass, you stupid. S-T-O-O. Stupid Mass.
It's time for Felger and Mass, presented by DraftKings on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Teams are preparing, owners are preparing for the idea that it minimally this season may not start until mid-June, late June. And I'm told they are pursuing arena dates, you know, into late August for the playoffs, and even looking at the idea without fans of playing games, maybe even in practice facilities that might make it a little, give it kind of a little different look for television. So everything is on the table with the league right now, and there is a great deal of uncertainty about what lies ahead.
All right, Murray, need you there?
That was Animal from Pearl Jam off Versus, originally released as a single in April of 1994. One of the more aggressive tracks off of Versus. It's 98.5 The Rocco.
It's Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub, presented by DraftKings, coming to you on Wednesday, March 25th from our Town Fair Tire Studios. You heard Adrian Wojnarowski there about 3 minutes ago, talking about the NBA schedule, and this is a topic I've been wanting to do for about 5-6 days. But I feel like every day there's been enough Brady stuff to really...
We got to keep squeezing that teat.
We've been sucking on the Brady teat there for a week, and I'm, you know, we may be doing it for months. But I do want to get to this, and I feel like today's the day, and here's an opening. So, Maz Murray, how you guys doing?
Good.
Good, you?
Just peachy. Thank you so much. Before I get into details, let me just ask you generically, and you heard Woj talk about it right there. Both the NBA and the NHL, if the NBA and the NHL were going to push forward, and the best we could hope for was a return sometime in late June, early July, and then playoffs through late July, August, into September to crown an NBA champion and a Stanley Cup champion. If that was the schedule, if that was the slate, if that was the plan, would you be into it? Would you want it? Or would you rather them just scrap the whole thing?
Murray, why don't you go first?
I'm in. I need whatever. I don't care if it's in front of nobody. I don't care if they play it in the street, any of it. I just, whatever. Get it, please. Do something. Give me a glimmer of hope. Give sports fans a glimmer of hope, and that, you know, we can have something that we can just get that release of watching that. I think people desperately miss it. People need something to get their minds off the state of the world. So if that means it's going to be altered a bit, it's going to look much differently than we're used to. And if that means that these games, playoff games, the Stanley Cup Final, the NBA Championship, is going to be played in front of nobody except the coaches, I can live with it. I just need something.
Yeah, I feel this similarly, and honestly, it's not even as much for me about getting the games back as, and when I say that, I mean I want the games back, don't get me wrong, but to me, I also want to see them finish the season. In fact, I'd go so far as to say that if it came to this, and I'm not saying it would, but I'd rather have two seasons that were affected a little than one that was wiped out, if that makes any sense.
No,
and maybe
so,
maybe it's not a little. Maybe they were affected a lot. But I would like for the seasons to be completed and then pick up the next one and try to get right back into our routine.
So it's important to point that out, because if these leagues do that, July, wrap up their regular seasons, August and September, playoffs, things like this, it pushes the next season back.
Correct.
And, you know, we've talked about the NBA. Some owners in the NBA wanting to do that anyway, wanting to start on Christmas and have the NBA season go through the summer, compete with baseball, not football. And so that's what would happen in the NBA. Hockey, not quite as much. They'd probably turn around and start it a little quicker, but it would affect. So what you would have is, like, here's a basic idea for you in the NHL. They come back in July. They quickly wrap up the regular season. Maybe you don't play all the remaining games. The Bruins have like 10 games left or something. Maybe you play a half dozen games per team. You clean up the games in hand on the 8-9 seed, so we know who's 8, we know who's 9. That, you know, you don't.
That's really why they got to do it. They got to have like a shortened regular season so they can figure out the bottom of the playoffs.
Okay, for me it's not just that, Murray. I think you need a tune-up.
Oh, well, that, sure, yeah.
I think these guys need to come back. So let me back up one step. Little training camps in July, then a little truncated end of the regular season. Maybe not all 9 games that they have left, but, you know, at least a handful of games that take a couple of weeks. Then the full 2 months of NHL playoffs. They crown the Stanley Cup champion sometime in September. The draft late September, free agency October. And then you start the 2021 season sometime in November. And would you be into that in the NBA as well? They crown an NBA champion sometime around Labor Day. NBA free agency comes in September, October, or maybe they have a little mini off season. Then free agency October, November, start the season sometime in December, maybe Christmas Day, and that's the next season. If that's what we're left with, and let me add one more thing too, the first couple of weeks. Maybe the end of that regular season, maybe the first round or two is played in front of nobody, empty arenas, maybe the whole thing. Would you want them to do that, or would you just say, scrap it, we'll see you next year?
I'm sorry, Murray. I want them to play. I want them to finish this season because, again, I think that if they were to not play, it opens up a whole other litany of problems. And, again, to me, the way I put it is I would rather have two seasons partially affected than one season wiped out, and then we're left with this sort of Because there are a lot of ramifications that come from eliminating these seasons if we were to stop now. And I know we're going to get into some of that, so I'll spare the details because I'm sure you want to go over them. But to me, I think, and they're going to have to ramp up when they come back. I don't think there's any question. I also have ulterior motives that you know. So I don't know if you want to get to that part of it now or not.
Just go, Mass, yeah.
Okay. So I look at it and say, I want baseball to have competition, real competition. All of a sudden, you just don't get the stage in the middle of the year and everyone else vanishes and it's all about you. I think baseball needs to be threatened. I think it needs to be challenged. And if both of those sports are around when baseball is typically playing its marquee games, and when I say they're around, I mean they are also in the postseason and they're coming back and playing games potentially in the middle of the year when baseball usually has the stage to itself, I'm all for it because I think MLB needs competition.
Can you imagine next September, October, NBA Finals, Stanley Cup Finals, who knows, maybe creeping into NHL free agency, NBA free agency, the NFL season starts, the college football. Can you imagine that September, October next year?
Oh, I'll tell you, in a lot of ways, it'd be kind of fun because I've told you before, April is the busiest month to me on the sports calendar, typically between the draft, the Masters, the playoffs, baseball. Everything is going on in the month of April. So this year, it just happens to be in the fall, and we move it to the fall, and I'm all for it. I'm gangbusters for that.
And you know what? You know what they're talking about the Masters? September.
Right.
Right.
You know what they're talking about the Kentucky Derby? September.
Exactly.
So just, I mean, talk about baseball getting buried. Talk about a wake-up call for baseball. Hey, Boston, here's a question for you. I heard this today. It blew me away. What's tomorrow? What's tomorrow, Boston?
Would have been opening day.
Red Sox opening day. You want to talk about who gives a crap? Or, like, you know, there was a time when, you know, the games would be wiped out tomorrow and it would be, like, the worst thing ever. The games are wiped out tomorrow and no one even knows they were going to play them. I had no idea. Tomorrow's opening day. Tomorrow was supposed to be, are they in Toronto? What was the
game?
Yes,
that's right, yeah, Toronto. Yeah.
Tomorrow, Red Sox at Toronto, Red Sox opening day. Did you know that, Boston? On my list of things, it was like somewhere between 165 and 168. Like, and I didn't even know it. I had forgotten it's not even on my list. I didn't even know they were. I forgot. It didn't register with me. Tomorrow was opening day. So, you know, the crux of this question is, do you want those NBA and NHL seasons to resume at the end of the summer, playing into September to crown their champion if that's all you get? And my answer is a resounding yes, 1,000 times yes. And Murray, it's not even for the reason you said. Like, give me something, I need something. Because, I mean, for the next 3 months, we're porked either way.
No, I know.
I mean, we're not getting it. So, to me, it's all about finish. The Bruins can win the cup.
Well, right. So let me give you that better reason. There's certain fan bases, and Bruins fans, myself included, are one of them. I don't want to spend the rest of my life wandering around like a fan of the 94 Expos. Hey, what if? Imagine if that season actually concluded. Because those Expos fans walk around like that team shoulda, coulda, woulda. That's how it's going to be for the Bruins. That's how it's going to be for Lakers fans.
Bruins can win the cup. The Bruins are in this thing. I don't want to wash away that season. I don't.
Especially after how last year ended.
You know, I'm going to give another one. I'm a Milwaukee Bucks fan. Giannis is going to leave in 2 years. Oh, the Bucks have only 2 years left with this guy. This is one of the two. I mean, we're going to lose one of the last 2 years you have with this guy before he becomes a New York Knick or a Los Angeles Laker or whatever. Like, no. I want to complete the basketball season. I want to complete the hockey season. I don't care if they need to wait 6 months for crying out loud. No. Service time. Biological clocks, et cetera, et cetera. This is the Bruins' last great chance, and they're right in it. I'm the best team in the league. I don't want this season to end. I don't care how long it takes. We're finishing this thing. And I just wonder if people agree or disagree with that. If you think by the time, I mean, it's March 25th, okay? So April 25th, May, June. I mean, we're talking like
realistically like 4 months.
Three, 4 months. When we get to that point, what's our interest level going to be? What's the energy level going to be? Mine will come right back. I want them
so
to complete.
Will mine. Yeah, so will mine.
I want them to complete this season, and I'm actually kind of looking forward to this. If the researchers and the doctors and we can all just get our crap together, and you know, get out ahead of this and do the right thing in the short term, and get back. Boy, that's shaping up for an interesting fall. I mean,
it'd almost be like too much.
It would be great. And then you get those free, those truncated free agent seasons with the NHL and the NBA right there in the fall. Like, talk about a great time and a great way to come back to the sporting calendar. Who wouldn't want that?
Well, I think baseball, as you know, is going to take its time with free agency. They have all winter, so they can just drag their feet like they do everything else.
Okay, so your thoughts on this? Your thoughts on this? The return of the NBA and the NHL, and you want them to hang on and do whatever it takes to have whatever kind of season they have, they can, however long it takes. Jimmy has sanitized and released the hounds at 617-779-0985 to you right after this.
Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming anywhere you go, on the Sports Hub app.
Hey, it's Mass. Since 1928, Rodenizer Home Services has been your trusted local experts for all your plumbing needs. From bathroom and kitchen fixtures to leaking pipes and water heaters, Rodenizer offers you the higher standards of professionalism. When you have questions, Rodenizer has answers, all backed by their 100% customer satisfaction guarantee. Their motto is simple: nice people, great service. So experience the difference today with Rodenizer Home Services. Visit Rodenizer.com to schedule today.
Don't let the weather limit your passion for golf. Go to Winslow's Kitchen Bar and Range, state-of-the-art Top Tracer driving range with shot tracing technology and Power T ball automation. Whether you're a golf enthusiast or a weekend warrior, you'll love Winslow's 16 heated bays with full-service food and drink, trivia nights, and live music in the clubhouse. Winslow's open 7 days a week, rain, snow, or shine, at Green Harbor Golf Club, 624 Webster Street in Marshfield. Book your bay at greenharborgolfclub.com/Winslow's. Winslow's, because good times and golf shouldn't happen. Have an off season.
I hate jokes. We're not taking jokes.
That joke blew.
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
What are you hearing about where the NBA is thinking it may be able to go from here?
Right. Well, the big thing that the NBA is going to have to do in any sports league is they're going to have to create a bubble that they can get healthy players, referees, and officials and television personnel into. And that is, again, if you keep hearing me say this, Greeny, I'm going to keep saying it. That is what China is doing. They are taking some smaller cities in China. They're big cities compared to our cities, but some smaller cities in China where they didn't have an outbreak. They're putting all the players, well, they had outbreak, but not as severe. They're putting all the players through quarantining tests, and they're trying to get them into that bubble so that once that bubble can be established, they can play games within it. And that's what the idea of playing a charity game would be. It would be practice in creating the bubble. And look, nobody knows how this is going to go. We have a lot of things we have to go through, but it's even possible that this bubble could be created in a non-NBA city. If we get to May and we find places in this country that have less of an outbreak than others, where it may be safer to get a gathering together, maybe it's in Nashville, Tennessee, maybe it's in Billings, Montana. Maybe it's a non-NBA city. But the ability to create that bubble to play within is what the NBA is going to try to figure out. And they're going to spend a lot of time watching and trying to figure out how to do that.
I found that really interesting. Brian Windhorst. Is that what they're doing in China? So that, I guess the professional league in China is back up and running. The epicenter of the outbreak of the coronavirus, their league is back up. But I meant to read up on this and I didn't. I'll take Windhorst's word for it. They're playing in empty arenas and they sort of found places where the outbreak wasn't as bad. They tested everyone, got everyone cleared, and sort of just quarantined those people and are staging games in empty buildings. So if that's what that takes, this is fine. Windhorst, the tweet, showing it on NBC Sports Boston right now. The Chinese Basketball Association, seen as a trial balloon for returning to play after the COVID-19 crisis, has delayed restart to May. Okay. That would mean about a four-month hiatus after shutting down in January. More than 20 American players had gone back, hoping to start April 15th. So China was going to do that. They didn't go ahead and do it. But to me, I just don't know why you would rule anything out. And this is a broad statement, but I feel like in this whole thing, there's just too many people who are willing to go way too far to one side or the other, you know, including the president to start the thing. Fake news, you know, it'll be cured like a miracle. We're fine. It's stupid. But now there's people saying, like, cancel it all. There's no way. There's no way we'll do it. Why are we doing this? Cancel it all. Like, that's silly, too. Just err on the side of caution. Take it day to day. And see where we are in a couple of months. And in the meantime, plan for every eventuality. Plan for it. you know, have things cleared, have things ready to go. And if somehow we get out ahead of it and do the right thing and it's contained and it's safe and we can go back in July, August, then let's go back in July and August. Why would you rule that out now?
Yeah, I think it's important to finish these seasons from a sports perspective. And look, I would even say again, if you were talking about the community and that sort of thing, there are teams that have a lot invested. There's been a lot invested in these seasons. And so, Mike, at the end of the day, all we're talking about really is shifting the summer months a little bit. And when I say shifting, we're all going to have to, you know, we're all going to lose something out of this thing, and we're going to lose a great deal. And so people are going to spend some time at home now, and when the teams are ready to come back and they're ready to play, they're just going to play in different months, and we shift everything around until we can get back on schedule. To me, to do it a little at a time, which is to say, you know, start the current season whenever they can get back, and then gradually we catch up rather than just lopping something off and trying to pick it up based on the calendar. I think resuming play is the better way to go.
Try and salvage anything you can. Try and fight through everything. Try and work as much as you can. Try and do everything you can possibly do. And if you can't, you can't. Like, I just don't get the people say, just cancel it all. There's no way. There's no shot. We're not going to be able to do anything. Just shut it all down.
Oh, I don't want them to, but, I mean, I don't feel optimistic about it. Well, ideally, I want them to come back.
Let's see. I mean, it's silly to start the thing. Fake news, fake flu, it's nothing. Why would you do that? And now, on the same side of it, why would you say, cancel it all. That's not safe. That's not, you don't know. You don't know in 2 or 3 months. You don't know. Let the researchers research. Let the doctors doctor. Let's all of us do what we can in the interim. And if in July and August it's safe, let's come back. And if it's not, let's not. And in the meantime, do some planning. What else are you doing? What else is there to do for these, you know, NBA and NHL teams? Plan it all out. Map it out. Map out every scenario. And be ready to go when that time comes. And I'm not putting people in harm's way. I'm not doing anything that's unsafe, but I'm pushing to resume these seasons whenever that happens. I am pushing for it. I'm insisting on it, doing everything I can to resume these seasons. What do you guys think? Dave in Plymouth. Go ahead, Dave.
Well, one of the issues that in starting in July and August, I mean, let's just take the Bruins, for example. The TD Garden ice is a mess.
Takes a day.
So what? Bad ice. What about...
You'd rather them cancel the season?
Mike, there are risks of injury. The games are going to be a joke. I mean, come on. In July and August,
Dave,
the heat around here?
So you'd rather cancel the season than have them play on
bad ice? No, Mike, I didn't say that. I think that waiting until maybe September to do a start, you know, of the season and condensing it so that everything gets done by Thanksgiving, giving them a break and restarting again in January with the 21 season, I think is going to probably be the way that they're going to have to go.
Okay, so I would do that, Dave.
I'm not saying I don't want to cancel the season, Mike. I'm dying. I'm watching, you know, Nesson replays of the Stanley Cup playoffs. They're running the Montreal. I don't know why they're running the first two games of the Montreal series. Nobody wanted to see that. But game 3 Thursday night, you bet I'm going to be watching that. I'm dying.
So, Dave, I'm pushing it back as long as it takes for it to be safe for us. The ice, we're just going to have to deal with bad ice. I'm sorry. God, it took no time at all to get the first bad ice call. Why are fans so obsessed with the bad ice thing?
Because
you got me.
Because it hurt them last year. That's why.
Bad ice hurt the Bruins last year?
Absolutely did.
Oh, it hurt them that they were small and soft is what hurt them. I don't care what ice they were playing on.
Totally. Here's the other thing, too. Like, what's the temperature like in the southern states in the month of May and June? How much different is Boston going to be in July than some of the southern states? So I look at that and say, I'm sorry, if you got to crank up the AC a little bit or the compressor at the Garden a little bit higher to make the ice a little bit more playable, then so be it. That's the way it goes.
The bad ice thing. Fans are obsessed with the bad ice. The ice blows to begin with. It blows. It blows in June. It blows in May. It blows. It's bad ice. It's going to be bad in July and August. That's what you would say to push it back even further or don't come back because they're playing on bad ice? I don't care if they're playing on freaking plexiglass. Come back and finish the season. The Bruins have a chance to win a cup. Mike in Wakefield. Go ahead, Mike.
Oh, bad ice. Boy, is that a joke. Seriously. Now, Maz, I'm with you. I really hate baseball, and I'd love to see them get beaten into the ground by having some real competition. But something I just want to throw out there real quick. And, Mike, as a fellow germaphobe, I think that you should see where I'm coming from on this. The only way that you can safe-proof this to play the rest of these seasons until we get this whole coronavirus under control is to literally quarantine every player. Like, say everybody tests negative, right? There's bound to be a ton of people that did not get infected by it. So you're literally going to have to tell them they have to stay away from their family. They have to stay away from their friends. Every referee,
yep.
Every person that has to travel with every single team has to quarantine
yep.
for the remainder of the playing.
Yep.
Or else you're just going to bring it back. I mean, you're talking about people who travel for a living.
So, Mike, what's wrong with that?
What's wrong with that? You're going to defeat the whole purpose of what we've done in the first place. You're just bringing it right back
defeat
in.
Defeat what purpose? No, quarantine them. Put them in a bubble. You can't interact with anyone. Do you want your money? Do you want your money, guys? Because these players, they're paid by the game. They're paid,
exactly.
You know, you don't think these guys, if I say to Patrice Bergeron, Patrice, and I'm just, you know, making this number up, I'm guessing, but, you know, the cancellation of the season and the cancellation of the playoffs cost you $4 million. I don't know. Or I'm sure some of these NBA guys, you know, if they don't pay them, going to lose millions of dollars. So here's the deal, LeBron. For 6 weeks, you can't interact with anyone other than your teammates or other than people who've been quarantined or the people who wear the wristband because they've been tested and quarantined and you're all safe. But for 6 weeks, that's all you can, you know, interact with. But you'll get your money and you'll have a chance to win a championship. You think LeBron would do it? I do. Don't you want him to do it? Don't you think he would do it? Yeah, so you make some sacrifices along the way. That's the point. Yep, that's the point. You create a safe zone. And you know, actually, who knows? Who knows what is going to be the landscape in 3-4 months if they come up with a treatment, if they come up with – we have no idea. So, like, this is sort of my point, too. We don't know what that's going to look like. But if it takes creating that safe bubble that Windhorst was talking about, create the safe bubble. Wouldn't we all take it? Don't you think the athletes themselves would take it, Maz?
No question they would. They would. Because, again, the money part of it's a big part of it. People can be conveniently overlook that. And, Mike, it's one thing to say LeBron James has already socked away more money than anyone else. How about some of these guys that are sort of fringe players? And they say, well, I can make, you know, $2 million for the rest of the year if we play these games out, or I can make nothing and may never get my chance to play in the professional leagues again or at the highest levels ever again. I think the players want to play. I think they
all want
their money. We all know that. And the owners wanted to. To me, you exhaust every possibility to close the deal, finish the job.
That proposal I talked about with the Stanley Cup playoffs, that whole schedule I gave you in the first segment, you know who came up with that? The players.
Absolutely.
Yep. The players came up with that, and they're presenting it to the owners. The players want to do that. You have no idea the economic impact for the NHL especially, which is dependent on gate revenue, which doesn't have a massive TV deal, which TV money is not guaranteed like the NBA is. They lose the Stanley Cup playoffs. It's not just guys who lose money in the short term. The caps go down next year. The revenue share goes down next year. They want their money. The players want their money. They'll quarantine. They'll quarantine for a couple months to get it done, to get their money. You don't think so? I do. Let's pick this up on the other side after Murray's update. We'll talk to an expert, not just fumble around here. These things about this idea about starting in the summer and pushing this all back to the fall. Is that even feasible? We'll talk to an expert on that right after the update.
Hey, it's Maz. Since 1928, Road Nizer Home Services has been your trusted local experts for all your plumbing needs. From bathroom and kitchen fixtures to leaking pipes and water heaters, Road Nizer offers you the higher standards of professionalism. When you have questions, Road Nizer has answers, all backed by their 100% customer satisfaction guarantee. Their motto is simple: nice people, great service. So experience the difference today with Road Nizer Home Services. Visit RoadNizer.com to schedule today.
Don't let the weather limit your passion for golf. Go to Winslow's Kitchen Bar and Range, state-of-the-art Top Tracer driving range with shot tracing technology and Power Tee ball automation. Whether you're a golf enthusiast or a weekend warrior, you'll love Winslow's 16 heated bays with full-service food and drink, trivia nights, and live music in the clubhouse. Winslow's open 7 days a week, rain, snow, or shine, at Green Harbor Golf Club, 624 Webster Street in Marshfield. Book your bay at greenharborgolfclub.com/Winslow's. Winslow's, because good times and golf shouldn't have an off season.
Felger and Maz.
I love it.
You were right, Maz.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bored my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
I'm proud of Adam Silver. I'm proud of the NBA and the way we've reacted. I think we've led the way, and hopefully we'll lead the way out of this. I mean, you know, no one has perfect information right now, and so all decisions are tough. But, you know, if I had to guess based off the people I've talked to at the CDC and other places, I would say that, you know, the over-under would be June 1st, and I'm taking the under, that hopefully by middle of May, we're starting to get back to normal, and the NBA is playing games, maybe not with fans, but we're playing games, because sports play such an important role. You know, people want something to cheer for. People want something to rally around. People want something to be excited about. And if the Mavs and the NBA in general can get out there and start playing games in May so that they're on TV, I mean, sports is what we need right now. And I think sports will, you know, I think we're coming together as a community, particularly in North Texas. But I think we need it. And I think the NBA is ready to play that role.
Okay, so that's Dallas Mavericks owner Mark Cuban putting over-under for NBA's return at June 1, and he's taking the under. And he's even talking about empty buildings, but by June 1. Sachs, ask an expert on that. This is Dr. Paul Sachs. He's joining us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Dr. Sachs is the clinical director for infectious disease at Brigham and Women's Hospital. He joined us last week. He's going to join us today. Doctor, thank you again so much for taking the time. Let me start off by asking you about that. Is that at all realistic that you think these leagues and these sports could be playing again by the summer?
Well, I think as much as we all want to plan things out and make predictions, we really need to be humble here. We don't know how long this is going to take, and we know that it's not going to be fast, and it's nice to speculate, but anybody who thinks that they can put a date on it is really misleading you. So I would say let's see how things go with this extreme social distancing that we're doing and other measures before we make any plans.
How about this idea of an empty building and, you know, creating a bubble? And I don't know if you were, you know, listening before, but, you know, testing everybody who would be in the building, everyone who would be playing these games, everyone who would be officiating these games, quarantine those people, make sure that they stay in their own bubble and just, you know, do games like that. Do you think empty buildings and that sort of thing is feasible?
That is feasible. In fact, when you look at successful control measures, they all involve aggressive testing even people who don't have symptoms, which is something we've not been able to do in this country, and then isolating them from others. Remember, it's pretty clear how this is spread, and if you don't have the infection, you can't spread it to someone else. So people who test negative are really not going to be transmitting it to others.
Dr. Sachs, since you mentioned that ideally we'd want to test people who don't have any symptoms, I think, you know, we've all heard reports or know people who've tested positive but are asymptomatic. Do we have any better grasp of what percentage of people might be carrying the virus but are asymptomatic? And, you know, can we get any read on that at all?
Well, that's a really excellent question. And some of the best data come out of a fascinating experience that happened in Italy. They actually had a small town where they were able to do testing up front. And in the midst of really what is a terrible outbreak in that country, they found several people who were asymptomatic, and they just then completely isolated them and they shut the town off from the rest of the country. They had about 40 to 50% of people who tested positive or asymptomatic. Now, this was at a time when the virus was entering Italy big time, you know, so that it was at a peak when the slope upward of cases was increasing rapidly. So it could be as high as that number. I think in most settings, it's been lower than that. Sometimes when they find people who have no symptoms initially, they then subsequently develop symptoms, mild or moderate. But believe me, there is an asymptomatic period, which is one reason why we're strongly recommending the social distancing, even for people who feel well.
Dr. Sachs, we spoke to you 2 weeks ago when the thing really sort of hit the fan. And now, you know, I feel like the federal government has caught up-ish, you know, finally. And, you know, we've enacted all of these measures. So I ask you now, just about 2 weeks later, how do you think we're doing?
Well, here in Boston, I think we're doing a really good job. You know, and I'm obviously biased. I think we all recognize the severity of the problem. Both the medical community and the public really have rallied around this. One thing that I don't like hearing about are people who say things like, you know, the social distancing is worse than the disease, and that's just not true medically. This is a potentially very severe infection, and we want to do everything we can to reduce the numbers and so we can get back to normal. You know, these few months of sacrifice are really in order to save lives. And once again, I want to underscore this. It's not just the lives of the elderly whose lives should be saved, but it's also the lives of some unfortunate young people who get very sick with this as well.
Yeah, why is there a reason that you're seeing the numbers that we're seeing for, you know, ages 18 to 49? Like, you know, when this thing was first reported, it's like, oh, well, if you're young, you really don't have to worry about it that much. And all of a sudden, it feels like worldwide, there's been this surge, especially here, of people in that age range that are getting it.
It actually was kind of a misunderstanding of the data. When the initial reports came out, they really reported only the hospitalized cases. And the hospitalized cases were mostly in the middle-aged to elderly people with a lot of other medical problems, and that's still the case even in the United States. However, there's always been a small number of young people who, when they get this infection, they get extremely sick. And when you do broader testing, you realize that actually the rate of infection in young people is even higher than it is in older people because they socialize so much and they mingle so much. So in Korea, I keep citing South Korea, where they've done a ton of testing, they actually find the rate of infection is the highest in the youngest people. And all it takes is a few of those people to get very sick, and it's really just a tragedy. So that's why I think some misunderstanding of the data initially by everybody, and now that we have better data, we understand that this is occurring at all ages, and it's just that if you get this, it's more likely to be severe if you're older and have medical problems.
Again, Dr. Paul Sachs, he's a clinical director for infectious disease at Brigham and Women's Hospital. Again, join us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Maz, did you have another question?
I did, Dr. Sachs. As Mike said, we spoke with you 10 days ago. I'm wondering if we know any more about the disease now than we did 10 days ago. For example, I read a story that suggested there is a latitudinal corridor on the globe between, I think, 30 and 50 degrees on the globe latitude that most of the severe outbreaks have taken place in. Do we believe that it is climate-related, those sorts of things?
Well, there is a precedent for respiratory infections to be climate related, but there is really no likelihood, unfortunately, that any latitude will be spared. I know that testing in southern hemisphere is due to resource limitations likely to be much lower, and as a result, in the tropical areas, they don't have as much case detection. But we're all very concerned that there actually is quite a bit of undiagnosed COVID-19 in those countries. So yes, I saw those reports. I wouldn't speculate that it's going to be worse at this latitude than others.
Doctor, I want to play you one more clip from Mark Cuban, because he said something that I heard no one else say, and he's just a businessman. He's not a doctor, but so, you know, I have to consider the source, which is why I want to bounce this off of you. He was optimistic. He thinks they'll be back sooner than we think, and we'll be out ahead of this sooner than we think, and he had a reason. So I want you to listen to this and give me your thoughts. Go ahead, Jim.
What needs to happen between here and there for that to actually come to fruition?
Really, one thing. We've got to get to a point where our scientists have come up with not a cure, but a therapy that we know minimizes the impact of the virus, so that if we get this into a person quickly enough, that A, they're not going to die, and B, hopefully they won't be scarred or damaged for life. Mm-hmm. Once we do that, then we have a path out. And I think we're not there yet, but we're getting closer and closer. I think it's hydrochloroquine, if that's the way it's pronounced, is one drug they're looking at. They're looking at other therapies that they're testing that are starting to help. Once we have a medical light at the end of the tunnel where we know what the worst case is, then, okay, we can start venturing outside and being in groups of 10 instead of being by ourselves, right? Mm-hmm. And then groups of 25 and then 50 and go from there. So I think that's the first step, and I think that's going to happen a little bit faster than we originally expected.
Okay, so again, not a cure, but a therapy that mitigates the symptoms or the contagion, or allows us to, I don't know, not hospitalize as many people, something along those lines, doctor. And he feels that we're getting there closer than we realize. Have you heard anything like that?
We need to be very cautious about interpreting medical information from people who are not studying it, from non-doctors, non-scientists, non-public health officials. The initial reports on use of hydroxychloroquine have some favorable signals, but also some signals that aren't as well publicized that are negative. I'm going to shout out to Maz's sister, Elena. She's the one who prescribes hydroxychloroquine because it's used for rheumatologic diseases. She's a wonderful doctor at the Brigham. But I will say that as an infectious disease treatment, it was originally used for malaria. It does not really have much antiviral activity that we know until there are really carefully done studies in people with this infection, controlled studies. We cannot make any conclusions that it's effective in treatment of coronavirus. And as a result, as of today, there is no proven effective therapy for COVID-19. And I do not expect that to change before the timeline that was mentioned in the quote.
Doctor, along these lines, what's the most dangerous piece of misinformation you're hearing out there?
Well, one that I just feel very sad about is when people say it's no big deal if you get this, because there is a very broad spectrum of the infection, and some of them is quite severe. I feel very happy for the people who had mild disease and that they recovered uneventfully, but there are other individuals who are critically ill, and there are also individuals who survive a hospitalization and are having prolonged periods of very bad fatigue and shortness of breath. So this is a potentially very severe infection, and it is not an overreaction, what we've done here. Even though it seems so dramatic, our lives have all changed so much. I think that's important that people realize this can be very serious. So that's just a very important message. Take it seriously. We're all taking it seriously.
And, Doctor, quickly, there's also seemingly an ocean's worth of misinformation when it comes to self-checking. My dad told me about this the other night, so hopefully you can set him straight. One of which is attempting to hold your breath for 10 seconds. You pull that off with no issues. Your lungs are fine, and you don't have COVID-19. This is a crock, right?
Yeah, that information has been circulating widely. I've heard it from many different people. I don't know where the information came from. It does sort of at least glance against one of the symptoms of severe COVID-19, which is shortness of breath. But there is no evidence that this particular test would be useful for people who are listening.
Maz, do you have anything more?
I do not.
Doctor, I have one more, and that is for the people out there, for us. What's the single most important thing we can do both for ourselves and for the world going forward here?
Well, maybe I can have three. One I would say is continue this social and physical distancing. Only by reducing the spread to other people are we going to get a handle on this. The second is if you do get sick, take care of yourself, but, you know, sadly isolate yourself from your family. Try to keep from spreading it within the family. That's what we learned from China, is that those are the most efficient transmissions. And the third one is really we need to support each other emotionally, and this is important to do it in ways that we're not used to. It means doing it a lot electronically. It means just looking out for people's both physical and emotional health. So those are my three. So thanks a lot.
Okay, so the isolation is there. And just real quick, but so you wouldn't rule out, and not that you would put a date on it, but you wouldn't rule out late summer back to normalcy and maybe some ball games?
I wouldn't rule it out under the conditions that you described, which sound like they're very controlled.
Okay, Doctor, thank you again for your time. We really do appreciate it.
Thank you, Doctor.
Thanks for inviting me.
Okay,
Take Dr. care.
Paul Sachs there from Brigham and Women's Hospital. Always a great conversation. Always a great landline. Let that be a model on top of everything else. Never mind the advice.
Very important. Yeah.
Murray, I've been waking up every day, holding my breath for 10 seconds, feeling fit as a fiddle. Like, don't ruin that for me. That's a little piece of false confidence I give myself every day.
I know I threw my dad under the bus, but I do it all the time,
too. Yeah, like, I'm constantly holding my breath. Like, I feel a little tickle in my throat. I hold my breath. I'm like, all right, I'm fine. Like, don't take that away from me.
I've been holding my breath for the last 30 years.
Okay, we continue. He wouldn't rule it out, a return of these leagues in the late summer. So I'm going to hold on to that. Until the doctors and guys like him tell me we can't do it, I'm not going to say we can't do it. So your thoughts on that, if that's all we're left with, would you take it? Back to your calls right after this.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
Hey, it's Maz. Since 1928, Rodenizer Home Services has been your trusted local experts for all your plumbing needs. From bathroom and kitchen fixtures to leaking pipes and water heaters, Rodenizer offers you the higher standards of professionalism. When you have questions, Rodenizer has answers, all backed by their 100% customer satisfaction guarantee. Their motto is simple: nice people, great service. So experience the difference today with Rodenizer Home Services. Visit Rodenizer.com to schedule today.
Don't let the weather limit your passion for golf. Go to Winslow's Kitchen Bar and Range, state-of-the-art Top Tracer driving range with shot tracing technology and Power T ball automation. Whether you're a golf enthusiast or a weekend warrior, you'll love Winslow's 16 heated bays with full-service food and drink, trivia nights, and live music in the clubhouse. Winslow's open 7 days a week, rain, snow, or shine, at Green Harbor Golf Club, 624 Webster Street in Marshfield. Book your bay at greenharborgolfclub.com/Winslow's. Winslow's, because good times and golf shouldn't have an off season.
Sometimes they're hot on the topic.
Yes!
No!
Yes!
No!
Yes!
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
So, as I suspected, Cuban was too optimistic and he didn't have scientific backed information.
You can't be surprised. I mean, the business community is obviously.
Yes, itching.
Like, let's go. We got to get back to work.
Itching. I mean, I get it. And, you know, I'm not going to vilify those who want that, by the way.
No, me either. I mean, can understand it.
I'll vilify someone who is ignoring it or is willfully putting people in harm's way now. But there's nothing wrong with saying, you know, Trump got a lot of heat for saying we want everything up and running and humming by Easter. Okay? And, like, I wouldn't put a time frame on it, but I don't think there's anything wrong with saying let's do everything we can and hopefully at such and such a time we can all get back to our lives. And if we get to that time and it's not safe to come back out, then don't come back out. All right? Don't push it. And I'm not saying play these games at all costs. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying don't rule it out. Don't rule it out. And if it's at all possible, then do it. And if it's not, don't. But I think, you know, having a little bit of hope isn't a bad thing. And having a little something on the schedule to look forward to isn't a bad thing. And if you get to it and you can't do it, you can't do it. Listen to the doctors, listen to the experts, listen to the researchers. They're going to make the call. They should make the call. But if there's a path, if there's a chance, and Dr. Sachs allowed for it, he said in those controlled environments that people are talking about, empty buildings, you know, strong testing, having people quarantine in a bubble, if you can do it, he wouldn't rule it out. So let's not rule it out. And for me, if that's what it takes to finish the NHL season, and I'm a Bruins fan, do it. Oh, my God, do it. They have a chance to win a cup. They're the best team in the league. Well, one of them.
Their last really good chance to win a cup.
Might be their last chance to win a cup. And I'm not putting that ahead of someone's safety.
Right.
But I'm telling you, if the experts tell me, Maz, that it's okay, then let's do it. Let's finish these seasons off.
Oh, absolutely. Look, again, there's no, to me, if there's a way to squeeze it in, then let's squeeze it in. Let's absolutely do it that way. So I think, you know, the other thing is I do think that I sort of buy into the theory and the belief, and I don't even know that it's necessarily a theory, but I think sports are important in communities. It's a way that people sort of bond. Like, there's a lot of that stuff that goes on, and you know, look, I like them. Obviously, we've made a living in them. And just as a quick aside, because we mentioned the comments that Cuban made, as well as the comments that Trump made, I wonder whether these business people are messing with the market a little bit too, and they say messing in a good way.
No, it's a good point.
Like, you know, look, say what you want about Trump. But since he made those comments a couple of days ago, the market went up 11.5% yesterday, and today it's up again. And I don't know whether there's a direct cause and effect there or not. I'm hardly a financial genius. But I will tell you that if there's a way to sort of fool the economy into hanging around and rallying a little bit, and it makes any sort of recovery later better than or easier, then I'm fine with the you know, the lying about. And then we can put it off later. My point is about Easter. Because I don't think Mike, the last time the market gained 2 days in a row, and I know this day's not over yet, I think was like 5 or 6 weeks ago. So, you know, maybe there's a connection there that is worth the effort.
Okay, so I'm not fooling around with these leagues, though. I'm finishing off these seasons, whatever it takes. And for sporty reasons, which we will detail with your thoughts right after this, I promise. You've been waiting patiently. Murray's 90-second update has no commercials. Then we're right to you.
Hey, it's Maz. Are you tired of small inconveniences that always turn into big headaches at home? Well, my friends at Rodenizer Home Services can make small fixes like repairing leaky faucets, adding or replacing electrical outlets and lights, or clearing slow drains that will provide big comfort for your home. And with over 10,000 five-star reviews, Rodenizer's expert technicians are just a call away and ready to fix those inconveniences at your home. Experience the difference with Rodenizer Home Services. Visit Rodenizer.com to schedule today. That's Rodenizer Home Services. Nice people, great service since 1928.
Don't let the weather limit your passion for golf. Go to Winslow's Kitchen Bar and Range, state-of-the-art Top Tracer driving range with shot tracing technology and Power Tee ball automation. Whether you're a golf enthusiast or a weekend warrior, you'll love Winslow's 16 heated bays with full-service food and drink, trivia nights, and live music in the clubhouse. Winslow's open 7 days a week, rain, snow, or shine, at Green Harbor Golf Club, 624 Webster Street in Marshfield. Book your bay at greenharborgolfclub.com/Winslow's. Winslow's, because good times and golf shouldn't have an off-season.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? No match for a little DIY duct tape. Shoot, hold on. Nope. There we go. No match for a little... Ah, dang it, wait. Duct tape and a wrench. Leaks are no match for duct tape than a wrench. And a bucket and a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tool I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
Ah! On second thought, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
And away go troubles down the drain.